Mayor Glenn Robertson joins us after the city council meeting last night. Welcome to the house. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
What you got planned for Valentine's today?
You know, I'm going to slip by Amigos probably at about 5 o'clock and hope they have some flowers left.
Okay.
Wow.
Yes. That's my tradition, and, you know, it's hit or miss because when you wait to 5:30, 6 o'clock on Valentine's evening, last year I think I had to end up with one of those shiny balloons, but hopefully.
Frozen turkey or something.
Well, you know, Mayor, maybe you should start a little earlier in the day. Maybe that would be something to try anyway.
Well, you know, 5:30 is pretty good for me.
That's early?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes.
The day of Valentine's?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I do have a tip for you, though. Seriously, if you have not done anything for Valentine's yet, go by Raider Red Meats and get some steaks.
Man, I think that's a fabulous idea.
The meat over there is, man, it's fantastic.
You know, we use their meat at the country club. That's they're our supplier, and we use a free ad for them, and I'm fine with that, because the reason we use them is they do have absolutely the best meat you can purchase. So, not a bad idea. I'll still end up at Amigos, but it was a good idea.
For the flour leftovers.
Yes. Or the nylon balloons. I mean, you know, they'll have something. It's, I think last year I got one of those, what do they call them, Mylar balloons. I think it said I love you in Spanish, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. A gift any 6-year-old would love.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Basically, last night, one of the things that was discussed and I guess voted on, you were empowered by the council and vote to execute the contract to go forward with the relocation of the library, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Anyway, you mind if we go to the phone real quick?
No problem.
Let's go to the phone because HR is on the line. I think he had a question about the library. HR, you're on. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How you doing?
Pretty good. What's going on?
I got a question that's been burning me, and I need to ask this question. I live in South Lubbock, so wouldn't it be, I mean, if I'm going to do something business-wise, I would not go to Renner Center or something like that. The city makes decisions by taxpayers who pay their taxes.
Okay.
Why, is it just me, or is it ridiculous to lease a building for that kind of money? When you can buy one, especially an existing building, that's an existing building. Why wouldn't the city go out and purchase that building and instead of incurring a cost and then not even owning it at the end of the thing? And I'll hang up with it.
Okay. Well, first of all, HR, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. First of all, HR, way back when, many, many moons ago, the mayor had actually suggested purchasing 3838 50th Street. And I believe that would have been for a price of under $300,000.
There's about $700,000.
Oh, $700,000, yes. Excuse me. But if it would have been purchased at the time it was suggested, we would have actually had that thing paid off, and we could have had a temporary relocation. But I think that the reason why people were a little bit upset was they thought that it should be outside the loop, and then, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn, but wasn't it the Friends of the Library, and people got a little booty hurt, feelings hurt, because they weren't, you know, pre-consulted in the whole thing, and it was a mess.
Well, we've been through a lot of processes trying to find this. Now, I'm going to disagree with the caller on one thing. I would love for him to find me a building in Southwest Lubbock of 12,500 feet that we could purchase that if you do an equivalency of the lease rate we're paying compared to a purchase price, that is more affordable, because this building would cost the city about $85 to $90 a foot to replace. We're leasing it for $6 a foot. We're talking about a cap rate that's going to be in the 2 or 3% range in a market that demands 8 to 12% cap rate. So, number one, the idea that this building is more expensive to lease than purchase is ludicrous. There is an option to purchase this building at the end of it. Now, as you stated, I pushed to try to buy 3838. That got voted down by the council. I tried to get the library board and the Friends of the Library to consider the Last Calls building that we could have purchased. That got shot down, and then they came back later and decided, oh, well, maybe you were right. Well, it was too late. It was already under contract. So we've gone through a lot of processes, but I think if you'll analyze the lease on this and look at the dollars that we're paying per square foot, you will find that not only is it an extremely cost savings to the city, we're going to save over $1 million over the next 5 years compared to what we're paying right now at the current GoToKey. So I'm not sure where people are getting information from, but their information's incorrect.
So we're
due respect to the situation. At the end of the day, at the end of this lease, you're still going to need to build it. So you're going to be right back at the same. You're going to be back at square one. There's got to be an executive decision made to say, hey, we need a building. This is what we're going to do, and it's what we need to do.
If there would have been an executive, here's the thing. If his name would have been Glenn Obama, we would have been in 3838.
Or Last Calls, or the third building. You know, and here again, I'm going to disagree with the caller. And you know, I buy and renovate buildings for a living. It's what I do. I invest in commercial real estate, and I buy properties and I lease them. I will tell you, and I will argue this and sit down with anybody that knows anything about real estate. The price that we're paying for this is so much cheaper than if we had gone in and tried to build it or replace it. We've got an option to purchase it. It's getting us out of a $25,000 a month lease. If you sit down and analyze this whole thing, there's no other solution. There's no other end point you can get to that this is good for the taxpayers. It's saving them a minimum of $1 million over 5 years.
Option to purchase the building at the end of the lease. So
now,
that could be an option.
Yeah, now,
if this location works out
and
everybody's happy with the location. Did you say $6 a square foot?
Correct.
In Southwest Lubbock, that doesn't happen.
We're paying $18 a foot where we're at right now.
Right.
Hey,
that's a
HR,
fabulous price.
With all due respect, you know, to you too, let me say this, and I don't think I think where Mayor is looking at this is he's looking at, okay, where were we and now where are we going to be? And the thing is, you know, you have to take gradual steps to recover in a situation. But I think in a perfect world, if we would have went ahead, we would have purchased when we had the chance to purchase and the blowtorch wasn't, you know, at our backside, we would be in a better situation. I think idealistically, you're correct. You're better off buying a building than renting a building or leasing a building. And at the end of the day, you're right. At the end of this lease term, we will have to, you don't think?
I disagree completely. If you're buying a building or you have to build, if we have to build a building it's comparable to the one that we're leasing.
Right.
We would have to spend a minimum of $75 to $80 a foot, depending on land cost.
And that's minimum.
Minimum. That could push up to $100 a foot. We're leasing it for $6 a foot. If I could lease this building that we've got right now for 30 years for $6 a foot versus buying it and amortizing it over 6 years, 30 years, it's going to be cheaper to lease it because the lease rate is so attractive.
Well, and you don't have the upkeep either, right?
I was going to say, if something goes wrong, somebody else has to fix it.
Well, you know, they've got to fix some of it, but right. I will tell you, this is a good deal, and anybody that really thinks that buying or building is better has not analyzed this deal or doesn't know what they're analyzing.
Hey, well, HR, thanks for your call, man. I've been punched in the forehead, too.
My last comment, let me just say this. What I'm going to go and take and tell these people, you know what, I don't want to buy my house anymore. I'm going to lease it for what you guys are saying. Because, you know, I'm buying, and y'all just put a bad taste in my mouth about buying something. But anyway, I appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, man, thanks, HR. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
It's 19 minutes after. Tom and Laura and Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house this morning after the city council meeting. Been talking about the library, of course. Last night, Mayor, you were authorized to execute the contract, the lease contract for the Lusky's Ryan's building.
Correct.
Over there, about 50th and Frankfurt, or where 50th and Frankfurt would be.
Right.
Of course, it's right there next to Lowe's Home Improvement. And anyway, one of the things that you know, it's kind of difficult to understand, and it's real obvious when I'm sitting here looking at the nonverbal cues, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, when I was sitting there saying, yeah, it would be better to have bought the building in, you know, 3838 and whatnot, and you were, and I think you were misunderstanding, thinking, and I was just saying buying a building, period. But if the deal was correct, it would have been good. But, you know, when you sit there and you start talking about stuff and you start rattling off all these numbers and stuff like that, I know because I tried, I bought a piece of commercial property. And it's not easy to do. And it's not cheap. And it's almost like, you know, commercial real estate is, man, that is a competitive, tough, tough, tough business.
Well, especially in Southwest Lubbock, it makes the market even tougher. And that's what made this, you know, we've battled this deal for 20 months. And I will tell anybody, this isn't a perfect solution. I also say that I really don't agree with the branch system of libraries with a city the size of Lubbock and with our transportation system. I feel like we would be much better off instead of having five libraries, having one state-of-the-art, centrally located library that served the entire city. But I'm the lone vote on that, and everybody, the majority of the council doesn't feel that way. And since that's it, you know, we've got to work under the current system.
Let me throw something out there. When I was a kid, this is the way that the library system worked, okay? Now, I grew up in North St. Louis County, and so our library, if we went to our, you know, our library, I think it was probably maybe 20 minutes away, 25 minutes away, okay? But what we had were these big, huge, well, trucks, for lack of a better word, you know, converted buses. Right. And what they did is they just had a regular bookmobile right. system. It was called the bookmobile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever happened to that? Because the thing is it's a mobile thing. You know,
Well, libraries today aren't just depositories of books anymore. It's right. all electronic.
And, I get it.
You know, you've got Wi-Fi and you've got the computers and you've got the research. So, you know, I'm not saying that we need to get completely away from a library system in Lubbock, but I would prefer one large, centrally located, state-of-the-art library. Here again, I don't know that there's anybody else on council that agrees with that sentiment. So, you know, we're in the current branch situation, and I think we made the best decision we could under the circumstance.
There is something to be said for having a library somewhere close to your neighborhood, though, too, because it keeps it in lines, in eyesight. You know what I mean?
Laura's bitter. She wants a library right next door to her house.
I want one down the street from me. No. But and that's also a way cities are judged in part, you know, for being literate or not, is how many libraries they have, quite frankly. That's one of the criteria.
Hey, we'll be back. Mayor Glenn Robertson, good morning. It's 729. Hope you're having a fantastic Valentine's Day. News Talk 790 KFYO 739. Tom and Laura, Mayor Glenn Robertson in the house, and post city council meeting. And definitely wanted to, you know, just kind of revisit the San Medina thing and, you know, kind of see where we're at. Last night, I guess, he had asked for, and you guys did put him on unpaid leave, correct?
Correct.
All right. You know, really, the long and short of it, just, you know, tie the shoe on this deal.
We maybe should recap why, in case somebody's just joining us.
Well, you know, Sam was had several allegations made against him by family members, serious criminal allegations. When they came up, Sam and I sat down and visited. We had a council meeting coming up the following week. So I agreed that he probably needed to go on just leave until we got to that council meeting. Council did vote to place him on paid administrative leave 3 weeks ago. The reasoning was if we placed him on unpaid at that time, just with allegations made, it could have been viewed as punitive. And we could have been putting the citizens of Lubbock at risk of another large lawsuit.
Because it would have been considered reactionary to the allegments.
It would have been considered punitive. So Sam did send me an email, called me as well. forwarded the email to all the council members, and the email stated that, you know, due to the fact that it looked like this was going to be a little bit longer and more drawn out than anybody had anticipated, that he was requesting that his leave be changed from paid leave to unpaid leave. He just stated that he didn't think it was fair to the taxpayers. I thought it showed a lot of class on Sam's part to make that request. It was something that we were going to have to look at anyhow. You know, Sam really made our job easier for us last night, making it kind of a voluntary request instead mm-hmm. of it looked like, you know, that we were trying to pass judgment on him, because he is still innocent until he's proven guilty.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, I know that you guys are updated on the status of the investigation and things
no,
like
we're
that.
Not.
No, you're not?
No.
Not even on the okay, where it stands right now is we brought in outside prosecutor, outside judge, yeah. correct?
Yes.
And I guess that's to also quell any
Judge in Amarillo?
That's up to the local DA made that decision. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's the county DA, not the city DA.
Right.
So once it left our police department and went to Matt Pyle's hand, it's completely out of the city's hands. We'll have no input into it whatsoever. Matt made the decision himself that he felt like it was probably best to hand it off to the prosecutor from Amarillo. So, you know, the process is now is the prosecutor up there will look at it. He'll either decide that there's not enough to warrant continuation, or if he thinks there's enough evidence, he'll hand it over to the grand jury for them to decide if it needs to go to trial or not.
Okay. Yeah. And I agree. I think that's a good idea to take it completely out of the hands, because the city attorney had been interfacing with so many different people and does on a regular basis. I mean, at so many different levels.
Right. And, you know, Sam's a past judge here in Lubbock. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for Matt to hand this off to Amarillo. It gets the politics out of it. You know, it's one of those situations where you hate it for Sam and his family, and you hate it for the young lady that's making allegations. And I just hope for everybody's sake they can get this done, get it behind them as soon as possible.
Yeah, I hate it for the children. I do think it's worth mentioning, too, that Councilmember Latrell Joy did recuse herself from that agenda item because she does represent Medina's son in his divorce case.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that goes without saying that's the right thing to do.
Right.
7:42, good morning. We'll be back. 7:47, good morning. Tom and Laura, happy Valentine's Day. Hope you got your red on. If you haven't left your house yet, grab something. Red, pink, or something close to it. So everybody thinks.
Your pink shirt this morning?
A Mylar balloon. That's what I recommend.
Oh, Mayor. We got to talk.
Give the gift of red meat for Valentine's Day. Yeah. Go to Raider Red Meats over on the.
I don't think the mayor's campus. Supposed to be eating that kind of thing, but maybe just on Valentine's
yeah,
Day.
Yeah, you
okay.
know, you got to cheat every once in a while.
Hey, okay, Mayor. Let's talk about Generations 2019 and where are we at on all this stuff? I mean, realistically.
Well, you know, we still have the ongoing RFP. It's still out there. We're still in the blackout period, which means that we can't talk about any details of it. But I will say that I had a very, very productive meeting this week with their subcommittee on technology. We met with the consultants, the Black and Veatch consultants, and I think we're going to see some extreme progress in the next 30 days. I'm very optimistic about how folks are finally coming together between LPNL and the rest of the city and the board and the council. Everybody is realizing that, you know, our deadline's coming up. We have to make a decision and probably get the ball rolling sometime this year. So I'm as optimistic today as I have been in 3.5 to 4 years since I've been involved with LPNL and the council. I feel very good about it. We're going to see some very good things happening very quickly in the future. I can't talk about them yet because we hadn't had a full meeting of the LPNL board, so anything that I discuss now that we discussed in that previous meeting this week is actually a violation of the open meetings law. So I think towards the end of this month, we'll be able to report to the citizens that we're taking some very, very positive steps, and I think people will be relieved when they hear that we're going to be coming up with some really good solutions.
Well, I think that the key here, and this is my personal opinion, okay, and this conjecture on my part, with the information that I did see that was released and had been published, even in, you know, not just in the paper, but on, you know, newscasts everywhere. Basically, what we were looking at was the agreement expiring in 2019, and then, you know, looking at building, and then, you know, not doing a whole lot, not really making any visible progress. Then the information is released that says, okay, well, part of the problem may be extending our purchase agreement. It's just like, duh.
No, well, that's not an option. And that news broke. It's bad news. We can still buy, and I think where it was misunderstood or misspoke was, we will be able to buy power from Xcel in 2019 if we want to pay retail prices. We can't afford to pay retail price.
People are pissed about their bills right now.
Oh, it would double from where we're at now. So, I mean, the courts have ruled. This isn't LPL didn't want, or Xcel didn't want to sell to us. And it's not that we don't want to buy from them. The courts ruled that Xcel has to exit the wholesale market and sell retail only. And so we're not going to be able to buy wholesale energy from them in 2019. We will be able to purchase from the open market. That would be a good solution, except for about 30 days of the year when that market peaks. So we're going to need to have some sort of generation of our own, or we're going to need a purchase power agreement with somebody that has our needed generation. And like I say, I feel confident that we'll have one of those two. We'll have a decision made in the next 6 months, and I think that we'll see really good action starting on that before the year's over with.
Yeah, that gives us some time, you know, because we have it slipping up on us, just, you know, basically.
Well, it's going to take 42 to 48 months if we build our own plant to get it permitted and built and get it to the point where you can flip the switch.
And we're almost there.
Yes, we're close. So, I mean, it's imperative that we make that decision this year. We are on the right path right now, and this is the first time since I've been involved with this that I've been able to say confidently that I think we're on the right path.
That sounds good to me. Eager to hear what kind of information, when it comes out, you know. I think everybody's kind of sitting on edge of the seat.
And everybody kind of has an opinion of where they think we should be going.
Well, they do. And here again, it's, if you're basing your opinion on the facts that you get out of the printed and the public media, that's the problem. And it's kind of like the caller that we had earlier. He's right in his opinion based on the facts that he knows.
Mm-hmm. Meaning HR.
Exactly. I mean, he is right in his opinion based on the facts that he's been given.
That if you purchase a property, it's somehow more efficient, money efficient than leasing.
If dollars are, you know, equals dollars. But what he didn't know, and it's the same situation with LPNL, is there's so much information in the background. Mm-hmm. You know, I've sat in probably 200-300 hours worth of meetings on generation, you know, literally having to study and learn the different types of what's the difference between combined cycle and single cycle. So, you know, you go through and you look at all that, and there's so much more information in the background that ever gets in the paper or ever gets on the TV or gets on the radio. So, you know, you're right. Everybody has a lot of opinions. But I think once everybody gets to see all the facts, and that's going to be the process we go through, we're going to lay everything out for the public. And I think once all the facts get out there, everybody will be very confident that we are on the right path.
You know, sometimes it does in those situations, like with the library. Sometimes things do happen, and it is cheaper to lease than it is to buy.
Well, it is. And like I say, defending HR, he didn't know all the background facts.
Right.
Good morning. It's 7:57, good morning. Collins Mack, Lubbock's First News. Happy Valentine's Day. Coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. Got just a couple of minutes left. Okay, coming up, we've got city council elections. And basically, what is the actual election day?
May 10th.
Okay.
You have to sign up by the end of this month, February 28th.
There you go, Laura.
The process is you go down, pick up a packet from the city secretary's office, turn it in. Where we're at right now, I have turned my packet in. I'm definitely running. Victor Hernandez picked up a packet and indicated that he's either running for District 1 or running for mayor. In District 1, Frank Gutierrez has announced and has picked up and signed up that he is running, so he's the only candidate right now for District 1. District 3, we've got one candidate so far. That's Maurice Stanley, but Jeff Griffin has picked up a packet, and then another lady's picked up a packet. So I think we'll have a contested election there. And then in District 5, we've got Karen Gibson,
Brian Carr.
And Brian Carr. And then the only other rumors out there in the mayoral race is it looks like Isidro Gutierrez is considering a run as well. So we may have a two- or three-man race for the mayor's race.
Okay. All right, very good. Laura, you can pick up your packet, too.
So. Well, I'll just run right
and
down and do
you know, that. I'll say this. Todd Klein's running for something. We just don't know what.
Mayor Mack. Huh. Mayor Mack.
Maybe he'll come on the show and tell us what.
Hey, thanks for being with us this morning.
You.
Happy Valentine's Day. Good luck with those flowers at 5 o'clock at Amigos.
I'll find something.
Yeah.
Don't settle for a Mylar balloon. We need to talk.